eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Welcome to Eat, Drink, Talk, Louisville's favorite restaurant bar podcast, where we dive deep into the local dining and drinking scene. I'm Steve Coombs, your host, with my co-host Rick Redding. How are you, sir?
Digging into the restaurant scene business world, right?
That's right. That's no more holiday play. It's back to work.
It's like reality. Reality hit with the 10-degree temperatures the other morning.
Tis winter, but it's going to be 65 by Wednesday, so, you know, welcome to Louisville, right?
Yeah, there you go.
If you don't like the weather, just wait a minute.
That's right. Change. That's right. But we have, you know, nothing changes with the restaurant scene. We're all excited about getting right into another week of exciting news around town. Steve, let's thank our sponsors first.
Absolutely. Harvest, one of our faves. Elevated hyper-local food served to you Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. and brunch from Friday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at 624 East Market. Don't miss three-course Thursdays, where you can get three courses for just $30. Call and make your reservations at 384-9090 or make them online at harvestlouisville.com.
Also sponsored by the Eyecare Institute, our good friends down at Story Avenue. If you have any issues with your eyes and it's time for that exam, call 502-589-1500. Their friendly staff will set you right up with an appointment. That'll be great. So we got some really big news, though, on our show.
We have a new sponsor.
A brand spanking new sponsor. We're very proud of them. Norton Commons, which is hosting a restaurant week in a couple of weeks. I guess
right.
January 23rd, right?
For those who may not know where Norton Commons is, it's on the very eastern side of Louisville, Kentucky, in Prospect.
Yes, it is. It's a lot more convenient than you might think it is. It's a great place. We're going to be talking about it a bunch on the show in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. Happy to have them on board.
That's right. We'll highlight, especially the restaurant week. This is going to be very cool. Very cool. We need to take part in it somehow.
There you go. Well, I got started last night. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. But I guess the big news story out of restaurants involves Super Chefs.
Yeah, poor guys. Temporarily closed with frozen pipes. About this time last year, the St. Matthew's Super Chefs burned to the point that it was beyond repair and closed. So January is not a good month for these guys.
You know, I know it's... I know it's not this simple, but I wonder if they kept their pipes, kept some water going.
Oh, I see what you're saying about that. Yeah,
the frozen
exactly.
pipes.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's not some of that simple. Hopefully,
we hated for them, though. It stinks.
Hopefully, they'll get back open pretty quick. So,
loss of business insurance. That's important.
All right. The big news for one of our favorite places, Butchertown Grocery, USA Today, Reader's Choice, best new restaurants. It was number two.
Number two is big when it's a national thing, and I'm not surprised. Not only is it a fantastic restaurant, it is well promoted. Has a great publicist team behind it that gets the word out, and you know Bobby Benjamin and his crew are doing the job. So there's no surprises there, and glad for them to get that kind of recognition.
Yeah. I know they're doing a bunch of promotion on WFPK Radio for Lola.
Oh, is that right?
Upstairs, they're having a new jazz series coming in there. So
nice.
Place to go, Lola.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to Lola is their website.
So if you don't want to drink there, you can soon you're going to have an opportunity to drink at a new wine bar, yet to be named, but opened by Scott Harper and some partners with the Bristol Bar and Grill in the old Papalino's Springhurst location.
I know where that is. I've been there.
I guess they've been looking closely at how well Luvino has
done. I was just thinking, we talked about it on this show, that we were shocked that Luvino didn't have a lot of competitors jumping on board. So
it's a detailed business to do. To manage all that wine is a pain in the neck. But, you know, there's Scott Harper, for heaven's sakes. He's one of 167 master sommeliers in the world. So he knows how to manage wine, but they manage it by the glass, and that's a little bit of a challenge that Luvino and Bistro 1860 has done exceptionally well. Commonwealth Tap, too, which we'll talk about later, they also do a great wine by the glass program. But I think Scott Harper is going to do exceptionally well. He's already proven himself as a longtime operator of the Bristol Bar and Grill in Jeffersonville. And can't wait to see it. But I don't think there was a Courier Journal story. I don't think there was an opening date given in it.
Okay. Well, it's a good location, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. I know this week, the Aloft Hotel on the East End, right down the street from that, is opening up. So
that's right.
New, cool stuff if you live out there or want to go visit out there.
Deep on Westport Road, just inside the 265 Beltway.
There you go. All right, so we're going to talk about Norton Commons Restaurant Week. It's a big deal coming up in a few weeks. Seven eateries are participating, along with a coffee shop, a gelato shop, a wine and bourbon bar, Commonwealth Tap, as you mentioned.
Right.
And Wild Ginger's coming soon, my favorite sushi restaurant. So you think that's a lot for the size of area.
That's remarkable restaurant density, as the term goes, for a restaurant, or for a suburban neighborhood like that. And I don't know how many people know this, but if you go out there on weekends especially, you'll see the residents buzzing around in golf carts because they have no reason to get in their real cars to go anywhere because they have stores there. I mean, I think 60 businesses are located there. I mean, it's a bunch. And then you've got all these places anywhere to eat. Yeah, just go see your friends in a golf cart.
That would that'd be the ultimate. Maybe we need to go do some real estate shopping out there.
Yeah, let's get some job shopping going on to get step up to that income level. But it's very cool. I mean, so there'll be six participating restaurants. They'll be doing three-course meals for patrons, either $5, $15, or $25, which would be an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert per person. So I'd love to we'll learn more, and we'll talk about it further as time goes on. We come up to the actual restaurant week about what those details are with what you get for $25 versus $15. I would imagine it's going to be good. A lot of good restaurants out there.
Yeah, I just went to one last night, the Citizen 7. Not been there before. It's a fantastic space.
I like that bar especially.
Yeah. So that's enough about Norton Commons. Now, you got one other thing you want to talk about, Steve?
Winston's is going to be relaunched as a gluten-free restaurant. Chef James Moran, the longtime sous chef at Ceviche, great guy, very talented, will be the chef there, but gluten-free. All gluten-free.
Wow.
Which, you know.
That's one of those mysterious things.
It's not as complex as you might think. I mean, it would just be very protein and vegetables heavy. Okay. But still, I mean, you really start pulling out the bread. You still start pulling out any, you know, any bit of it that has wheat. I mean, that's beer in a lot of cases. Or other grains that are involved in the beer. It's I don't know that there's that much demand for it, frankly. But, right. You know, if you're going to have a culinary school that's going to try to be on the cutting edge, that's the cutting edge.
Well, that's the way to go, maybe.
Yeah, to see if it really will test out well. I'm excited for him. I think Moran's a great guy, and I would love to see him be able to pull it off. I don't know who's going to operate the service component there. But that is where the Sullivan kids, once they've gone through the bulk of their curriculum, do their practical testing right. Yep. There, you know, hands on. So it's
well,
a
there's
cool
so
place.
Many there's so many alumni of that place around town operating restaurants. It's a really cool thing to have in town.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's get into our show. This show features guests who are making things happen in the restaurant industry or drinking industry, and you got a good one.
So Chef Bruce Yukon and Ann Shadle. So those are the partners at Mind Cafe. They're celebrating their 10-year anniversary at that spot. Mind Cafe, 10 years prior to that, was the Mind Gypsy, which Bruce and right. his first wife are involved in. But this iteration is just remarkable. It's one of my favorite restaurants. I'm shameless in saying so. I love it. And what they're going to do all month long is have the top 10 dishes of each of the 10 years they've been around. And they've made one single menu out of
wow.
it.
Wow. They have a different dish every year?
From each year, yeah. So they went back in their point of sale system, which documents all that. And they yeah. know exactly what the best sellers were. And they're bringing them all back. So if you can taste or even share 10 of those, share the entire menu, you get free Toxel lima beans all year.
Wow, that's a year's worth of lima beans. What a prize.
It, well, exactly. But at the same time, that is its best-known dish, lima beans. And Bruce Yukon, the chef there, a remarkably humble, friendly guy, talks about why he thinks that's so popular.
Wow, it sounds like a very cool story. I'm anxious to hear it.
Nice
so,
people.
So let's let our listeners in on that. And Steve and I will be back with our favorite dishes of the week right after the interview.
head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott,
Kristen Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
So my guest this week on Eat, Drink, Talk is Bruce Yukon, the chef and partner of the Mayan Cafe in Nulu. Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this is your 10-year anniversary in this iteration of the restaurant and in Nulu.
Yeah.
Did you ever think it would make it this far?
Not really. I didn't think about it, actually. But I guess
you just worked?
It just worked, you know.
It showed up and cooked?
Right.
Well, you know, the celebration centers on, it's kind of an all-month mm-hmm. thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are trotting out the 10 favorite dishes mm-hmm. of those years. Mm-hmm. And you're also giving free Tuxal lima beans
yes.
on Mondays.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the 10 dishes. How did you pick those as the favorites?
Well, we have a system, like computer system, where we kind of like go back and see the best dishes for that month.
The best sellers?
For that year, actually, uh-huh. that year. And we kind of, I mean, some that were close, but I think just picking because we, for the new, this new menu makes sense to just mix things up, you know, a little bit. But I think, yeah, they were pretty much the more popular dishes that year.
What was the most popular among them?
Of course, pork. Pork was the number one probably.
Like the cochinita pibil?
Yes, yeah. Totally. It's like number one. And it's been number one even in any menu we have made that year or that month, you know, because we used to change menus monthly also.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know.
Talk about some other favorites. What else?
I think the also we use, we started the scallops were very popular. Also, scallops with relleno negro, which is a spice that is charred burnt chilies that we combine uh-huh. with a little cream, reducing, you know, it makes a really, really memorable flavor to remember. Lima beans were, of course, the salbutes for
always,
lunch.
Yeah.
Our salbutes, so we always have those on the menu.
Salbutes have expanded my waistline,
right?
I must say.
What else do we do? The chilaquiles were very popular for some of the
and
folks.
Yours are a little different. They're not quite the tradition that you'll see on the Mexican mainland, right? Explain
right.
your chilaquiles.
The chilaquiles that we have is an idea that, you know, chilaquiles originally is like a leftovers. Tortillas, chips, whatever leftover from in the house. And mom or grandma used to just toss them together with whatever sauce, tomato or whatever. And my idea, concept is like make fresh tortilla by hand, dice it up or use it as whole and just layer over veggies and beans or whatever we have that year and asparagus.
And sometimes I've seen, a lot of times in fact, chilaquiles I've seen with eggs.
Yes.
Like as a breakfast dish,
yes,
right?
Yes, totally. And like I said, yeah, some places in Mexico they use chilaquiles as breakfast, you know, with fried eggs sometimes, with chorizo, with sweet peas. But our concept is a little similarity, but more like idea of freshness and
it's a very versatile dish.
Yes,
in other words,
yes.
When you said leftovers, that opens the door to all possibilities.
Right.
Anyway, I've had it. I've loved it. Yeah. We'll talk about the Tuxal lima beans. Why do you think those have become so extraordinarily popular? I mean, it's kind of what the restaurant is known for.
Honestly, I don't know. I have a question every day to myself, like, why is it so popular? to me, it's like probably the uniqueness of the flavor and the idea that lima beans, especially here in the South, well, you consider the South or Central Kentucky, what?
Right.
South, I guess. Lima beans is considered like kind of the poor people's food and not respectfully cooked. Obviously, with some families, they make it like just boiled potatoes or like boiling any potatoes. But the way we do it, we roast them.
Uh-huh.
It's the opposite. You know, we pan fry them and a little bit of taste of sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, oil, lime. So I think it makes so unique and, once again, memorable flavor that, I mean, nobody has done it before.
Just like boiled with ham, like
right.
we do here. Yeah, much
right.
more interesting.
Right, right.
So as I understand it, throughout the month of January, anyone who comes here on Mondays, it's free Tuxal lima beans.
Yes.
And if anyone actually tastes or buys all 10 of the special dishes, they get free Tuxal for a year.
That's the
right?
idea.
So is it a specific menu this month that just has those 10 dishes on it?
Yes, we definitely made a specific menu that we have. And then when they try to take answers, they don't have personally tried it. And if they can share the answers with somebody else, they can still achieve their lima beans, you know, for the whole year.
You need like a passport, like the Bourbon Trail, exactly. You know, stamp exactly. your Tuxel passport.
Yes, exactly.
What is it about this place? I mean, let me ask you this. What 10 years ago, Nulu wasn't even Nulu. But you guys believed that this was important, partly because 10 years prior, you had My Gypsy.
Yes.
What's always made you believe in this neighborhood?
There's something that I feel comfortable in the area. And at the time, rent was cheap. So you feel like, hey, I want to stay. I don't want to go on the suburbs. I think I don't want to be on the fast pace. I want to be like here. You know, it's like it feels like home, you know, safe. And the environment is like low key. You know, I think that's what the reason I stay. And believe that this will neighborhood. People kept saying back then, oh, this will come one day. And I just stuck in my head and just stayed. And it did. I mean, it's coming still, slowly but surely, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. And so you've got 40 seats here, so it's a fairly small restaurant.
Correct.
Do you ever feel as though you want to expand it and grow it? Or?
I would like to expand some of the areas, not necessarily move to another location. I think I like that. It's just probably more space to be able to feel more like, you know, not so crowded. But people seem like they don't mind. They come and eat and go. So it's like...
But that's part of the vibe and the feel of the restaurant too, isn't it? Oh, it's always a buzz and a crowd here.
I agree. I think you're right.
And you like to speak to your guests and come out and see them.
At some point, yes, when we're not that busy.
What does the future hold? I mean, how do you continue to take a menu like this? I mean, it's already a bit of a challenge because you're focusing on a mine cuisine using local ingredients. How do you keep that advancing into the future or something that's innovative and interesting for restaurant guests?
This is the question that I ask the last few years, like, what's going to happen when it gets to the max? What do we do? I think at this point right now, I just need to think harder and see, figure out how can we refresh the concept and bring new ideas on that. I think that's one of the some of the old-timer restaurants like to see. And they just do the same thing over and over. And at one point in their life, 20 years later, hey, you know, we're doing the same thing and we're losing business and we need to change. So I think it's a good question and it worries a little bit, but I think that's the challenge that we think every single day. So we don't know yet, but I'm sure we'll come up with something.
Well, we've had so many good meals here, not only just as the restaurant, but we've enjoyed the Lights Out dinners, where for listeners who don't know what that is, it is a meal where there are blindfolds placed on the guests, and the staff brings the food out, and we have no idea what we're eating until Bruce comes out and explains it to us. Do you expect maybe that will return at some point?
I mean, if somebody's interested to do it, definitely I would do that. I mean, it was fun. I think sometimes.
Is it difficult?
No, not really. I think we just need, like I said, a little creative, and people wanting to do it. And I mean, I think it's one of the, in generally speaking, like chef's idea and challenge and something fun for them to do, especially me. Yeah.
Not every week.
Just not every week, once in a while.
Every
maybe idea festival, whatever, you know.
And so we're just joined by your business partner, Ann Shadel.
No.
Thank you for joining the recording here. What do you envision the future of Mayan Cafe, Ann? Since
future of Mayan Cafe. It's a good question.
How does it roll forward? How does it innovate?
I mean, I think the goals that we have and any changes that we make, number one is quality, and number two is sustainability. So we've talked about potentially changing how we do lunch at some point to make it more of like a fast casual style, so a little bit less formal, differentiating between lunch and dinner a little bit more. I think fast casual is a trend that is growing and is going to continue to take hold. So that's something that we've talked about. Our catering portion of our business continues to grow, and that's something that we really want to keep moving.
And those are good margin transactions. Yeah,
totally. I mean, money at the front or money at the back door is always a good thing. My I think restaurants really start to do well when you have a three revenue stream model. So when you've got, you know, catering, restaurant plus a third thing, right? Like Blue Dog, I think that they do that pretty effectively. So.
Well, of course, my question that I've asked you so many times but never on the record is talk about spirits. I love Mexican spirits, specifically tequila. Mm-hmm. Do you see that mine might expand that in the future?
We actually, I really finally found like a good partner for getting some cool stuff in here. So we've changed a bunch of the stuff recently, and agave spirits in general, tequila, and as well as rum, right? Mezcal, mm-hmm. all of those things, I think, as I continue to kind of dig in and find other unique brands that are, you know, a little bit less well-known. I really have gotten into the training piece of things with my staff to get them pumped up about it, to really learn how they're made, what makes the quality so good.
And then it's not for shooting with salt and wine.
Correct.
Blood.
Right. I mean, I will say any day of the week that a bourbon drinker should be drinking a reposado or an añejo tequila in the summer.
That's how I got into bourbon, was through reposado and the añejo.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's totally the thing. I mean, I would like to have a mezcal flight on the menu that I can really sell to people. You know,
I'm not there yet. I can't get past the burnt rubber.
You gotta have good mezcals, and then it's, you know, like a little bit smoother, not quite as in your face of the smokiness. But
that's a good question. Why are we not a mezcal mm-hmm. menu?
I mean, I know exactly what I would put on. I mean, we have a bourbon flight and a tequila flight right now, and we get some traction with those.
It goes well with our food, too.
Mm-hmm. They pair so well together. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the food, we'll address the special one more time. It's going on through the end of January, correct?
Correct.
What time does dinner start in the evening?
5 o'clock until 10 on the weekdays and 10:30 on the weekends.
And reservations are advised, I would mm-hmm. imagine. What's yep. the number to make those?
You can call the restaurant at 502-566-0651. And we also take them on our website. We do online reservations, too.
There you are, people. That's your plan for this month. Come down to Mayan Cafe and celebrate its 10-year anniversary. Thanks, both of you, for being on Eat, Drink, Talk.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the... What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, Steve, great interview with Bruce, and I'm anxious to get down there to the Mayan Cafe and try some of this stuff.
Friendly, charming people. Love them.
All right, well, everybody knows that this is everybody's favorite part of the show.
When we talk about what we had, what we drank,
talk about what's good, and we hope we make you thirsty, make you hungry, make you go out and try some of these things that we are fortunate enough to get to try each and every week.
Exactly. So my favorite drink of the past week was the House Cocktail. That's what it's called, at the Fat Lamb, and bartender Brennan Staples makes it. It's basically kind of a riff on, or like a fusion of the Manhattan and the old fashioned, in that, you know, there's whiskey, there's, you know, a Demerara syrup, but he adds a little bit of cardamom syrup and a splash of sweet vermouth. That's kind of a little, you know, Manhattan-esque, and finishes it with an orange slice. It's stirred and served neat in a rocks glass, which is another weird twist. But I love it. It's great. It's just a clean whiskey drink. I like that.
Well, very cool. Well, I went off the board. I was so excited about our Restaurant Week promotion with Norton Commons. I went out to Citizen 7 last night with the lovely Paula, and we ordered margaritas off the menu because that's their thing. And I didn't know, Steve, whether to go Highlands Margarita or Lowlands Margarita out there.
If you want a little bit sweeter tequila, do you go with a Highlands Margarita, which the tequila is sweeter there because the fruit, the agave, is planted at 3,000, 5,000 feet above sea level. So the fruit, I mean, it's in volcanic soil. It's got to strain a lot harder to get its roots down to get water. So that makes the finished product sweeter. And, I mean, it does have a wet cement, earthy kind of flavor sometimes mm-hmm. that people don't like. And the Lowlands tequila, that can get its water source much more in a much more shallow way. So they're not quite as strained, and the flavor's a little bit rounder, and how do I want to say, earthier. But both are fantastic. You should be able to. It's hard to taste that in a margarita, though. I'd be hard pressed to figure that out. But
I don't know that I would tell the difference. It was sweet. It had a unique taste to it. Frida Kahlo tequila, I understand, is high
good,
quality
good
stuff.
Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And the way they do their sour mix out there is not. I mean, it's scratch. It's lime juice and simple syrup. Done. That's the classic way. So I like that about Citizen
Our 7. Waitress told us they take special attention to the syrup. So I don't know. I guess they make it.
It's pretty. There. That's why it's called simple syrup, because it is really simple. It's not hard.
All right. So you were at the Fat Lamb, and you got something to eat there too, huh?
Just Chef Dallas McGarity sent out. I was having just a drink with a local food service distributor, and he sent a couple of the lamb meatballs over, and instead of, you know, red sauce on them, I love red sauce like everybody else, but this has tzatziki and gremolata and feta, and tzatziki is that yogurt cucumber sauce that's Greek. It's just, well, and it's lamb, so, you know, you get all the connections there, but it's just delicious. It's a delightful and lighter twist on the Italian standard. I loved it.
Man, that sounds good. But my chimmy at Citizen 7 was equally wonderful. It's a really crunchy burrito, I guess, and a big glob of guacamole on top of it. And
so it's deep fried, right?
Yeah. And it was awesome. My plate was clean when we were talking.
Yeah, I like the menu out there. There's a lot of small plates out there, so you can eat very affordably out at Citizen.
We had a side of the plantains, which is one of my favorite things, and they were sweet and texture was just right.
They are delicious.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Before we move to your interview, I want to thank our sponsors again, Harvest. Again, don't miss Three Course Thursdays. Certainly, it's going to run at least through the month of January, where you can get three courses for $30. Call 384-9090 for reservations or make your own online at harvestlouisville.com.
And there you go. And our sponsor, Eye Care Institute, down on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. Make yourself an appointment. Don't be straining your eyes and using these cheaters like we do all the time. They take care of you down there at the Eye Care Institute. And we're very happy to have our new sponsor, Norton Commons, on board. And in fact, next week, I think we're going to have a guest from Norton Commons as one of our interviewees.
Oh, cool. Give us a little bit more detail on the restaurant week.
And that whole development out there, I think in our, I don't know how long they've been going, but you and I have seen that thing go from nothing to...
Yeah, quite at least 10 years. I mean, when I was living in Goshen, that was the first quote-unquote nearby place that we could get, you know, a really good glass of wine, and Commonwealth Tap became one of our favorites there.
Oh, well, there you go. I know they've hosted Homerama out there at least twice, because I've been, and so it's cool, and they got a lot of room to grow. So
yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. So I got a chance of coming back in town to go over to Veronese, the restaurant, and you wonder what happened. Chef John Veronese, very well known in this market, went off and did River House, and, you know, he still owns his namesake restaurant, but... You know, he had to leave somebody in charge.
Right.
When he went out and spending all his time, a lot of his time with River House. And that person is Chef Eric Abraham.
The very able Chef Eric Abraham. I met him in 2009 at the James Beard House when John was cooking there. And that's a stressful environment. And he was a cool, focused customer.
Yeah.
Did a hell of a job.
Yeah, well, he was pretty cool in the interview. Soft-spoken, but... is a very interesting history. I really enjoyed getting to meet him. He's from Minnesota, but he spent a lot of time down south in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know that.
That's a lot of influence on his cooking style, and he's just very happy to sort of be the man in charge over there at Veronese, which they do great over there. They, you know, they got that live entertainment.
Right, right. People want to look around. People think we want to open up a successful restaurant. Go take a little schooling there about, you know, one that's a well-run operation there. And it's high praise for Eric that John chose him.
Yeah, and it's really good stuff there. So check that out. Listen to my interview with Eric Abraham. And remember, Eat, Drink, Talk all week, every week. You'll find news stories, things that are going on in the industry right there at eatdrinktalk.net.
Dessert? Yes, please.
And what a lovely place I'm in today. This is the Veronese restaurant. I'm with Chef Eric Abraham. Eric, welcome to the show.
Nice to meet you.
Man, this is a cool place. I remember being in here several times, but a lot of people go back to when this was like the Red Lounge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, long time ago.
And a gas station before that.
Yeah, everybody always comments on the gas station part. So.
There you go. Well, you've been with Chef John Veronese quite a long time, but I guess the... a big change occurred last year, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, he opened the River House and the Levee, and that's been a lot of work for him. So I just kind of took over here, and it's been a lot of work. It's the first time I've done this. So.
Okay, well, I guess there's a lot of changes from being, in the kitchen to being the guy in charge, right?
Yep. It's a lot more to look at, the bigger picture. So.
Okay.
I've always just been like a sous chef or lead line cook, stuff like that. So.
Okay. Well, John's certainly got his hands full at River House, but I'm sure how much involvement does he have with you? How much do you see?
He kind of lets us just do whatever. He lets us, as long as, you know, we're not suffering, you know, and everything's been going good. So he lets us, he always let us, when he was here, he let us be real creative and just kind of make up stuff all the time and do whatever worked.
Okay. And you've certainly got a background full of interesting stops. I know you told me you were in New Orleans area, in Louisiana, went to LSU, and came up here to Sullivan to go to school. Do you still have a lot of that Louisiana cooking in you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of the food we serve here is all like Southern influenced anyways.
Okay.
So it really blends well with the stuff I was cooking in Louisiana. Just kind of different seafoods and meats, you know. It's all whatever's local. So
In terms of, since you took over as the chef here at Veronese, have you made changes to the menu?
Well, the menu, we've always just changed it constantly. We keep changing it and taking things out, putting new things in, and we always run specials. So we'll have 7 nightly specials. So that's a good way to just constantly be changing the menu. And we're actually going to change it again here soon. Our core menu, we'll change a few items. We always change like 2 or 3 items, but keep the favorites.
And what? Tell me what the favorites are.
Well, our pork chop. We always have our pork chop on it. People love that. Okay. They come in all the time. And then we have our salmon on the dish. Calamari.
Okay.
Cheese balls. A few of those things that we always have here. So.
Okay. Kind of making me hungry. All right. I know you have a lot of pairings here. You know, in fact, there's a bourbon dinner this week.
On the 10th.
On the 10th. What goes into your thought process in terms of coming up with pairings that make sense?
Well, usually we'll get in whatever the alcohol is, if it's beer, wine, or bourbon, and then someone will come in. Either we get like the distiller to come in, or whoever the winemaker is, they'll come in and kind of taste the wine with us and go through it. And usually sit down with my 2 sous chefs, Tom and Callie, and we just come up with whatever ideas pair well with the food. There's a wine. We do a wine dinner every month, and then we alternate between bourbon and beer. So it's a lot of dinners.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, it must be popular with customers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they must be well attended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got Gergich coming up next, and that wine always does great, so we get a lot of people to come in for that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that one.
Mm-hmm.
When you say bourbon, beer, wine, do you have a preference? Do you have anything that you like?
I like wine. The wine dinners are a little more interesting, too, because it's a smaller portion. So we do kind of a tapas style, and you get 6 courses or 7 courses. And then bourbon and beer dinners are usually more hearty, so you get like 4 courses, larger portions.
Okay.
So I like doing the wine. It's a little more creative. And with the smaller portions, you know, you can kind of go out of the box a little on a few of the dishes and still get the majority of people to come in for it without being too many items on there that people kind of cringe at.
People cringe. I guess when you experiment, though, I guess that's what you risk, I guess, people that don't experiment with what they eat, right?
Mm, it's a fine line between being too creative and then it not tasting good or the other way around. So.
Yeah. Is there a time you've been too creative?
Sometimes some of the stuff gets a little... I like eating awful, so all the internals and stuff. A lot of people just kind of shy away from it, so it's hard to get it to where it tastes good but still kind of slip it in to where people don't mind it.
I mean, you've been here several years. Have you been able to introduce items that have not been on the Veronese menu before?
We started doing charcuterie a couple years ago.
So
I delved into that pretty deep. I have quite a few hams. I have some 2-year-old, 3-year-old hams that I've been aging, 4-year-old, like some old stuff. That's been kind of a work in progress. And I do it down for the River House, too. So kind of combine powers and do it for the both places.
So I mean, your base is here. You have some involvement in the River House.
I go down there and kind of play with stuff, and it's nice to use it as a storage facility because it's so large.
They got a lot of room.
Yeah,
down
they
there,
have tons.
They?
We don't have any room here, so it's nice.
Well,
to have that.
It's I guess it's a small kitchen, but I guess you know it's always amazing the restaurants that make it and they're very successful. Is there a secret?
Good staff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the biggest thing is that, you know, we have small turnover rate. Everybody in the kitchen's been here for a while. And Tom, my sous chef, has been here since day one.
Okay. So, and you got great entertainment, right?
Yeah, the live jazz with Jeff Sherman's amazing. You'd probably say like half the people come in for the food, half come for the jazz. I mean, it's really popular. Everyone loves to sit out here and listen to it. So, especially in the summer with the doors open, jazz playing.
Right.
It's pretty nice.
Right. Well, you know, this place with all the windows and all that, I guess weather has something to do with it. But, you know, I guess you still have plenty of crowds in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wintertime's nice because it's kind of, you can still see out. And it feels like you're outside, but it's nice and warm in here. Then in the summertime, those days when it gets a little too hot, it's a little bit hard. Over 100 degree days.
There you go. So what made you decide way back when to go? You grew up in Minnesota, but you went all the way down to LSU for school.
Yep. My dad actually went to work for Al Copeland down in New Orleans with the Popeye's Chicken and Copeland's of New Orleans and all those restaurants. He built restaurants, so he was working there, and I just moved down there, and I started working in restaurants, and I actually worked for Al Copeland, too, for a little while at one of his steakhouses.
Yeah. Do you ever think about a career outside of the restaurant industry?
Not really. I mean, I do like construction work, but it's pretty much I cook. That's what I do. So
that's what you do.
Yeah.
Well, how was it? You know, a lot of people in Louisville went through the school at Sullivan, mm-hmm. Culinary school there. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how that? I guess it was good to you.
Yeah. I mean, I had a good time there. It was kind of you get out what you put in. Kind mm-hmm. of a place. The harder you work, the more you're going to learn. And more you get out of it. It was a good school. My instructors that I had were really good instructors. They definitely kind of instilled some stuff into me that keeps me going. So
okay. And nowadays you're we all hope to be working hard. You put in a lot of hours here, I guess.
yep I don't even know how many hours a week, but it's we're open 7 days a week. We only close 5 days out of the year, so it's definitely a grind every week.
and who comes up with the ideas for the pairings and all the does that fall on you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we get the wine in, and then sometimes there's extra wine, and we kind of have to narrow it down. David, our general manager, he does a lot with that too. He's really good at tasting the wines and kind of picking out notes to go along with that.
Okay. So we collaborate with them on what food to.
Yep, and my two sous chefs, we just kind of sit around and brainstorm and. Usually at the end of a night, sit down at the bar and just try all the wines and stuff and figure out a menu.
Yeah, well, that's when some of the best ideas, I guess, come along. Mm-hmm. So, Veronese, you say these special pairing dinners happen on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. The bourbon one is next week. What comes up after that?
Then we have the Gergich dinner on, I think it's a two-night dinner, I want to say the 24th or somewhere around there. It's going to be on a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Okay.
So. And then next month will be a beer dinner. I'm not even sure what yet. Usually we get the stuff about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ahead of time. And then we have to taste it and put the menu together, and then it all goes out to print and stuff. Okay. So,
well, good. Well, we'll certainly be looking for the specials here at Veronese, and always enjoy coming in here, Eric, and love the food.
Oh, thank you.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.